Steve Davis has been employed at BYU-Idaho for the past 32 years and has had management roles in enrollment services, fundraising, and alumni relations. He has served as a bishop, high counselor, elders quorum president, gospel doctrine teacher, and was a full-time missionary in the Philippines. Steve and his wife Cynthia met at Ricks College and are the parents of 6 children and have 4 grandchildren. In all things, their faith and children come first. Steve also enjoys the great Idaho outdoors, including horseback riding, hiking, and photography. Steve has a passion for teaching students the principles of personal achievement, stress management, and the value of networking. He even recently wrote a book on how to manage anxiety from a gospel perspective.
Jonah Goldberg, an author and comedian, said, "If hypocrisy were helium, we'd all have funny voices and some would float away." Well, I hope my voice doesn't go super high. It might. I'm glad to have my wife Cindy here. If I start to float away, she'll just come like hold me down. But on a serious note, I'm honored to share an important message I believe heaven wants many in this audience to hear, including me. Elder Matthew Calley, a former member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, said, "The gospel of Jesus Christ is simply beautiful and beautifully simple." One of my favorite beautifully simple scriptures is found in 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 25, which states, "Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy." Isn't that beautifully simple? Because Adam fell, we're here. That's a blessing. But it's also a challenge. Because of the fall, all of us will experience hard things. Being fallen men and women, we will have times of illness, suffer emotionally, lose loved ones, and deal with disappointment. We will have all sorts of aches, from toothaches, backaches, headaches, to heartaches. Life will often be hard, and through this all, we might have joy. Notice the helping verb might, which could be translated to maybe. Maybe we'll have joy. That's not super consoling or positive. So how do we get to joy? I believe that our Heavenly Father has provided a simply beautiful plan for finding both joy and peace, and He's always shared that with His children who seek Him. One of my favorite examples of this is the Hall of Fame pro football player, Gale Sayers. Gale played for the University of Nebraska, where he earned the nickname the Kansas Comet. He gained over 4,000 yards and was a 2-time All-American. He was drafted by the Chicago Bears in 1965, and in his rookie year, he scored an NFL record 22 touchdowns and gained 2,272 all-purpose yards. Sadly, in 1968, he suffered a serious knee injury that cost him the final 5 games of the season. Helping him through this challenge was his fellow running back, Brian Piccolo. Now, Brian's path to the NFL was much different than Gale's. Brian played at Wake Forest, and at that time, there was only one African-American player in the ACC, Daryl Hill, who played for Maryland. Now, in 1963, Maryland visited Wake Forest. The home team student section began to taunt Daryl Hill. Noticing this, Brian Piccolo walked across the field to the Maryland bench, put his arm around Daryl and said, "I want to apologize for the behavior of my fans." Then, taking Daryl Hill, he marched out to the middle of the field. He faced the Wake Forest side, and the jeering stopped. It kept to near silence. That's an amazing story. 2 years later, Brian signed with the Chicago Bears as an undrafted free agent, and he made the practice squad. Gale and Brian were the first interracial roommates in the NFL. While Gale was injured, Brian saw more playing time. Once Sayers returned, they joined each other in the backfield as the starting tailback and fullback. After scoring a touchdown against the Atlanta Falcons, Brian pulled himself out of the game, complaining of a shortness of breath. A medical examination revealed that he had an aggressive form of cancer and that in spite of surgery and treatment, it would spread through his entire body. It was now Gale's turn to help and serve his friend. The month before Piccolo's death, at the age of 26, Gale Sayers was accepting the George S. Hallis Award for the most courageous player, and he told the crowd that they had selected the wrong person. He said, "I love Brian Piccolo, and I'd like all of you to love him too. Tonight, when you hit your knees to pray, please ask God to love him too." Brian left behind a wife and three daughters. Now, inspired by his friend's story and Gail's experience, he wrote his autobiography titled "I Am Third," which stands for "God is first, others are second, and I am third." This book was the inspiration for the 1971 movie Brian's Song. I am third. Could this be the simple answer to finding joy? Didn't the Savior himself teach? Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, it's common for us to read these scriptures as if they contain three commandments: love God, love neighbor, love yourself. The Lord did not command us to love ourselves. He just stated that we do. And this is the exact order of "I am third." So let's return back now to 2 Nephi 2:25 and the declaration that we might have joy. In a recent devotional, Brother Dan Christian suggested one way to remember this simple instruction is to turn joy into the acronym J-O-Y, which could remind us to put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. Regarding the value of finding peace through joy, President Spencer W. Kimball taught, "Daily unselfish service to others is one of the mechanics of the successful life. For whosoever will save his life, the Galilean said, shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." What a strange paradox this, and yet one needs only to analyze it to be convinced of its truth. Only when you lift a burden, God will lift your burden. Divine paradox this. The man who staggers and falls because his burden is too great can lighten that burden by taking on the weight of another's burden. Yet, you get by giving, but your part of giving must be given first. Recently, here at BYU Idaho, Elder David A. Bednar stated that this selfless giving is the essence of the character of Jesus Christ. He said, "The greatest indicator of character is the capacity to recognize and appropriately respond to other people who are experiencing the very challenge pressing upon us. Character is revealed, for example, in the power to discern the suffering of other people when we ourselves are suffering, in the ability to detect the hunger of others when we are hungry, and in the power to reach out and extend compassion when we are in the midst of our own spiritual distress. Thus, character is demonstrated by looking and reaching outward when the natural and an instinctive response is to be self-absorbed and turn inward." And Elder Jeffrey R. Holland stated, "True love blooms when we care more about another person than we care about ourselves. That is Christ's great example for us, and it ought to be more evident in the kindness we show, the respect we give, and the selflessness and courtesy we employ in our personal relationships." I was recently made aware of Jason and Clarissa Osborne's story of the power of both putting trust in the Savior and in the healing power of selfless service. Both Jason and Clarissa are alumni of BYU Idaho. As you watch this short video clip from KSL News, please note the principles of joy.
What is that?
Yeah. Clarissa and Jason Osborne love children and always dreamed of having a large family.
Children just bring so much happiness, and their life is nothing without children.
After Carter, the Osbornes had Shanna. She was born with a genetic heart defect and died just 3 months after birth.
That day goes on over and over in our heads that morning. I mean, both of us. It replays because it's a nightmare, really.
I even told Jason in the parking lot, "I can't go home. I can't go home and see all of her things and know she's not there."
Family and friends helped pull them through this dark time.
We wouldn't have been able to get through it, I don't think, without them.
With the help of infertility treatments, the Osbornes soon found they were expecting again. And this time, it was joy times four. Four little girls.
Oh, I cried. I did. I was like, I cannot be a mom of four babies at the same time.
The Osbournes started reaching out via social media to other parents of multiples, hoping for suggestions, not realizing that community of support would one day be a lifeline. BYU TV featured the couple on its show Random Acts, throwing them a surprise shower. In June, Clarissa went into early labor at just 23 weeks, much too early for Kylie, Savannah, Ellie, and Lexi. Their rainbow babies only lived a few days.
There's no way that we could have gone through the experiences that we've had without trusting in God and in our faith.
Neighbors, friends, and family once again stepped in to lift the Osbournes, leaving messages of love and just being there, physically and emotionally.
Having those people reach out who had no idea who we were, and you think of social media and the impact that it can have, for me, that was very helpful.
The Osbournes hold on to their mementos of their five precious girls, but also find giving to others very healing, donating their shower gifts and creating a foundation in memory of Shanna.
We awarded two $500 scholarships to some youth that have the same condition and are going to college. And so that brings a lot of joy.
It's hard to think about having more children right now, and we just need to focus on what we have now, and we'll just take things as they come.
That's a compelling story, and we need to learn from those examples. I have found that when I'm discouraged or anxious, that my natural fallen man tendency is to put joy in reverse. When I was called to serve a mission in 1980 to the Philippines, I was the oldest son and the oldest grandson on both sides of my family to accept a call. The last missionary to serve was my father, who served in the 1950s. I had never been away from home for more than a night or two in my life, and sensing my nervousness, my bishop told me, "You'll be the best missionary ever to have served from our ward." That gave me some confidence, and I'm pretty sure that he deliberately gave that message to every missionary. So, fast forward a couple months, I'm now serving in some very remote village, hours from the mission home, and across the planet from my family. There was only one telephone in town, no email, and we received our mail in batches, a month's worth of letters at a time. I was not only very homesick, but became both anxious and depressed. Best missionary? Not at all. I began to doubt, and true to my fallen man nature, became very focused on myself. I beat myself up for every negative thought. I tried listening to hours of church music, memorizing scriptures, doing lots of push-ups, and trying to make myself feel better. When I shared my challenge with my mission president, he invited me to cross the bridge. He told me, "You are on the man-to-man side of the bridge. You are only focusing on yourself, your happiness, your baptisms, your chances for leadership. When you cross the bridge, your whole focus shifts to bringing others to Christ. Your investigators, your companion, everyone you've been asked to serve. On your side of the bridge, it is all about yourself. On the other side of the bridge, it is all about others." I learned that as a discouraged young missionary, Gordon B. Hinckley received this simple counsel from his father. "Dear Gordon, I have only one suggestion. Forget yourself and go to work." Like Elder Hinckley, I took my mission president's advice and poured myself into the work. And it wasn't immediate, but my homesickness and anxiety and depression lifted. Regarding the value of serving God by serving others, Sister Esther Rasband stated, "It is still true that we must lose ourselves to find ourselves. There is no I in peace." Through the years, I have faced other trials and naturally fell into times when I became very me-focused on the wrong side of the bridge. As I prayed, Heavenly Father always reminded me, "Forget about yourself, serve others." Yet I stubbornly would focus on myself, often neglecting those, including my family. Now, when my wife and I were sealed in the Seattle Temple, the officiator stood in front of me, right in front of me, and said, "There is one word that starts with the letter S that will ruin many marriages. Do you know what word that is?" I blurted out, "Sin." He said, "No, it's selfishness." Now, I started this talk by implying that living the gospel should be simple, but the adversary counters with so many easy things that can keep us from practicing joy and finding peace. It is so easy to just go to mindless diversions. As President J. Eyring shared last week, our electronic devices can either be a godsend or ensnare us in mindless gaming and morally destructive activities. It is usually much easier to just find ways to be entertained than to go and serve others. When I am discouraged, I'm just a click away from the latest game, Netflix show, or social media, almost always masking my feelings and only providing temporary relief. When I'm doing that, I'm on the wrong side of the bridge. I'm on the selfish me side. So in preparation for this talk, I conducted three experiments to explore how we find both joy and peace. My first experiment was to look at how the world seeks peace. Now, there's a strong movement some have called spiritual but not religious. I have a meditation app on my phone that I often use, and it averages nearly 500,000 daily users with over 15,000 guided meditations and mini courses. So in sampling these offerings, I discovered that 89% of them were me or I-focused, 9% were about serving others, and 2% had anything to do with faith. Some of the recent popular titles, and I want you to focus on how these are me-centric, are 30 Days to a Happier, More Fulfilled You, Coming Home to Yourself, and Inner Child Healing Meditation. So my next question was to naturally ask, okay, how are we doing here at BYU Idaho? We're a disciple preparation center. Surely we're going to be different than the world. So I posted a one-question survey on the BYU Idaho LinkedIn page. This is the question. Life can be challenging and stressful, especially as a college student. When you are stressed out and perhaps discouraged, what is your number one activity to find relief? So thank you for those of you who helped. In just a couple days, nearly 500 of you responded. So I took your answers and broke them down into the joy categories. Now, as I share your responses, I want to make this very important disclaimer. Almost all why activities are not bad. In fact, many of them are very good. And in the end, can help us be better at serving God and others. But sadly, this experiment did reveal that our natural tendency is to focus on things that will make us feel better. So this is us, as this chart illustrates. 83% of yours, my stress relief activities were why, with the top three being exercise, media, and sleeping. Eating was number four. Now, as I anticipated this talk over the past couple days, I've done all of these except sleep. But I'll be better tonight. 10% of you shared that your top things were all with spending time with your family and friends leading the way, and 7% of you responded with J activities, with prayer, attending the temple, and reading the scriptures is the most common. My third experiment was to reread the Book of Mormon. Now, I'm going to make another disclaimer. What I'm going to show you here in a second is halfway through the Book of Mormon. I'm still working on this. But I read the Book of Mormon, and I had a tally sheet, and I marked each verse that referenced the Savior with a small letter J, each verse that invites us to serve others with an O, and each reference to serving ourselves with a Y. Interestingly, this is almost an exact inverse of both the world's ideas and our survey responses, with 72% references for serving and loving God, 25% for serving others, and only 3% looking out for ourselves. So in summary, while we can love God and learn of Him, the only way we can serve Him is by serving His children. And we will have more peace if we actually practice joy, J-O-Y. Here are some suggestions. With J, I believe we should seek Him, try to be like Him, and serve His children. With O, we can serve His children, be forgiving, and live the golden rule. And if we do these things in this order, we become a better Y, a better version of ourselves. We become more kind, more charitable, and like Him. Now, one of my favorite primary songs is I'm Trying to Be Like Jesus, and I have no musical ability, but my wife does. So I've asked her to help us with the song. Now, she's going to sing the song, both verses, but she's going to invite you to joyfully participate in singing the chorus. You'll see the words on the screen. Now, as you listen to the words of the song, I want you to notice the elements of joy.
I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm following in His ways. I'm trying to love as He but the Holy Spirit enters into my heart, saying, love one another as Jesus loves you. Try to show kindness in all that you do. Be gentle and loving in deed and in thought, for these are the things Jesus taught. I'm trying to love my neighbor. I'm learning to serve my friends. I watch for the day of gladness when Jesus will come again. I try to remember the lessons he taught. Then the Holy Spirit enters into my thoughts, saying, love one another as Jesus loves you. Try to show kindness in all that you do. Be gentle and loving in deed and in thought, for these are the things Jesus taught.
Thank you, Cindy. In summary, if we want to simply live the gospel beautifully, we will find peace by practicing joy, and as illustrated in this song, we'll try to be like Jesus by following in his way, loving as he did in all that we do and say. We will love our neighbor and learn to serve our friends. We will then be able to watch for the day of gladness when Jesus will come again. And I leave this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.